Katara is back. This is Appa, my flying bison.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Toph Beifong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko, you look so cute.
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing our sparrow keys.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on! Shuffle on, I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongWuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by several co-hosts, first of which is Joe.
Hello.
Steph.
Hello.
Melanie.
Hello.
Jody.
Hi.
Back from a long break, Kevin.
Hello.
And making her first appearance is Shay.
Hi.
And Shay is Shay on DH, so very complicated there. So yeah, send us questions, podcast@dongwufang.net, send us Avatar questions for the mailbag, and you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. The podcast page is dongwufang.net/podcast, and you can find different ways to listen to the podcast there. So today's podcast is kind of a bridge podcast into the next couple of weeks. We'll first be discussing news and views, I might have a little rant there, and then we'll be going to first a discussion topic, which is going to be the first of our previous episode segment discussions. We're going to be discussing the beginning of Season 1, Episodes 101 to 106, which is Boy in the Iceberg to Imprisoned, and then we'll move on to a thought segment, which is about the finale, and how what we... Well, since Jake's not here, what I think is going to happen in the finale and how that it will affect what might happen the rest of the season, plot-wise. And then we'll have a mailbag and close things out. So yeah, not the most exciting discussions today. A lot of people here, so hopefully we get a lot of opinions. And we're basically doing stuff that's going to lead up to some exciting discussions later in the month or in February. So let's move on to news and views. Okay, news and views, but first, Abby is also with us, so yeah,
forgot. Hi, everybody!
So yeah, she might be on and off, though, she's having some problems, so yeah. In DongWuFang news this week, DongWuFang's winter event, the most wonderful time of the year, still the most awesome game, is here, and we will be announcing the 313 through 317 titles all throughout the winter. Currently, we have just revealed the 10 title choices for the 313 episode title. They are The Lake, The Royal Family, The White Lotus, The Boiling Rock, The Escape, The Enlightened, The Capture, The Dragon of the West, The Necklace, and The Bloodbender. The real title will be revealed on January 11th in chat, and we'll be probably eliminating some titles throughout the week, so go to dongwufang.net to check out the latest plans for the title reveal and for the podcast, for the chat event, which we'll be revealing.
Go for the biggest one!
Yeah. Oh, no opinions on this yet. We'll be discussing the title next podcast.
Well, I have an opinion on it, but you have no opinions
Joe,
yet.
Shut up. Okay, so yeah. We also have started a feature with podcast polls, which is where the week before the podcast, I post a poll on the main site of DongWuFang that pertains to the discussions next week. And, you know, it's a good idea. So thanks, Bender X, for suggesting the podcast reviews on iTunes.
Good idea.
Very good idea, and it'll help us with your opinions on some of the topics we'll be doing. So we'll have some for this week. And, like, 500 people voted, so that's really good. Okay, Avatar news. Yeah, 312 through 13 aired on YTV in Canada early, before the US. And let me get this clear. As long as I live in Maryland, and I run the podcast, and the U.S. has not shown episodes, then we will not be discussing episodes that air in Canada early. This is a U.S.-based podcast for a U.S.-based site in a mostly U.S.-based fandom, so I don't understand why we would discuss the titles early.
That's pretty offensive to those poor Canadians. I want you to give them a big A and apologize.
Right. So yeah.
A.
A.
See, we're not going to discuss it until it airs in the US, which might not be for a while. Like, I'm predicting late March, which is...
I say next far December.
Too long. I'm predicting, yeah. Jake is preaching mid-March, I'm predicting late March, so really it doesn't look good, but...
February? February?
We'll have stuff to get you guys through.
In wish.
So...
September.
Yeah. And I had something else to say. About Avatar News. I think.
You wanted to talk about...
This is why we use an outline.
I have an outline, I just didn't update the outline. Okay? Gosh. So yeah.
That's unprofessional.
I know, this is not a very professional podcast.
You know what's unprofessional? Going to work naked.
Thank you for that.
Why?
Okay. So yeah, I guess nothing else since I can't remember. So let's move on to the episodes 101 to 106 discussion. Today we'll be starting the first of our segments, recapping all the episodes shown so far. So that's season 1, 2, and first half of season 3. The purpose of these is to find out the main theme of the episodes, which will help us speculate about the finale later on. And that is the key to these. We're finding out the main theme, that's like the goal. We'll also like see which episodes are our favorite and stuff, but we gotta focus on the main theme. Today we'll be discussing the beginning of Season 1, which I have classified as 101 to 106. The Boy and the Iceberg to the Imprisoned. So that's like not anything definite, that's just, these are all my classifications and what we're doing to meet the needs of the podcast. So yeah.
So this is a filler podcast?
No, this is, this is going to make the finale speculation later on very good. We're gonna have some really good speculation come March, so that'll be good. So
that's
yeah.
That's always relieving to know.
We'll start, and I said change the topic title. We'll start, so yeah, who actually watched 101 to 106 here? Because I did today, like a couple hours ago.
Oh, I didn't watch it today, I could pretty much...
You have Wikipedia open, if that helps.
Ah, that does help. Yeah, I think me and Abby were the only ones, that'll work.
Hey, I was too busy being a nerd over at my friend's house.
Ah, okay.
That's always fun.
Okay, so, how was the beginning of the... season quality-wise, I guess, the first question.
I think it's
first episode was a bit more childish, I guess, which I guess gave it a bit of charm. Although I could have done without the snot joke of Papa.
Yeah, so... Well, I don't know. I always thought of the beginning of season one as the weak point to the series. And then I just watched them again today. They were amazing. I mean, it was... 101 and 102 were like, is like a different show. The humor was so different. It was great. I mean,
I felt it was a lot more, it was a lot sharper. The animation quality especially too, it seemed like they were really putting their best foot forward a little better. I mean, I'm not saying that the animation quality has suffered or is less now as in season 3, but I think the animation quality had a certain freshness to it, you know, like everybody was trying to prove themselves right off the bat and make something that really looked quality, wasn't just, you know, a quickie.
I agree, yes. Especially DR Movie, I think, tried to step it up a lot. Because they animated a 103, and that was amazingly animated. I mean, that they have that shot that we used, that Kevin used the to make the podcast banner and icon of Aang going.
That was one of my favorite episodes in season.
That's like one of the best shots of the entire series, I'd say. So yeah, DR Movie definitely stepped up. JM was really good, too. They're founding their foundation. So yeah, animation was good. The humor was different. No, I'm not. Seriously, this isn't going to be a Cat Aang podcast, but I'd just like to say how amazing that is that they already have that deep of a relationship 5 minutes in. Just really, like, I mean, platonic, but that's really...
Platonic.
Yes,
platonic. Oh, not that was for Joe. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I don't know, I watched it again, 103, I don't remember being so good. That's a great episode. I mean, it had the... Zhao, anything with Zhao is good, by the way. So Zhao, Zuko, Agni Kai, and then
Zhao. I'm so proud that you pronounce it right now.
Nah,
instead of Zhao.
No, Zhao's an Olympic swimmer, by the way. Just thought I'd point out. And
he had a secret life vest on.
No, he's an Olympic swimmer. Get it right.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
If he were an Olympic swimmer, he'd have to shave his sideburns.
No,
Oh yeah, he would have to like shave his head and stuff.
He just put those in a little swim cap. Okay, that's off topic. So yeah, they had flashbacks. They had I don't know, I just loved the episode. It was pretty phenomenal, actually. And
who didn't like
Mike
the
wrote
episode?
A really good episode there. So yeah, and then 104 is one of my favorites of the series.
It's... What about 111?
For those who don't remember, could you maybe give us a little again a summary, maybe the episode title and what it is? We're saying the episode numbers, but everybody might not know exactly what they're about.
Boy in the Iceberg is 101, and then Avatar Returns 102.
Southern Air Temple, I don't know the names for these.
Southern Air Temple is 103. Yeah, then we go to Warriors of Kyoshi 104, King of Omashu 105, and Imprisoned 106. So those are the ones we're referring to. And I usually try to say the names, but I know the episode production numbers a lot better.
And that's how we're discussing.
Showing off
to 106.
It's easier, yeah.
You're just showing off.
So no, actually, it's easier to remember.
Oh, because usually, yeah.
And it's
less words to say.
Yeah. Especially this. So, yeah,
that we do.
And you know, it's interesting. The first couple episodes had a lot of people working on them that didn't really work on them past like a couple episodes. Like, Warriors of Kyoshi written by Nick Malice? That name ring a bell? No, because that was the only episode he wrote. And Warriors of Kyoshi, you could say, was one of the best episodes of the series, easily, I'd say. I mean, it's a complete episode. Like, I've referred to me and Martin talking about this before. Romance, drama, and humor. And Warriors of Kyoshi easily has all three of those. So,
of course.
Very complete episode there.
And Sokka.
Yes.
And Suki.
Sokka. No. So, Anthony Leoli, Sokka. Too, was the director for King of Omashu, and also for The Waterbending Scroll, which is 109. And then he fades off. He doesn't do any episodes past that. So again, we have some new people here that they're trying out. Matthew Hubbard wrote The Imprisoned. I mean, we don't hear much of him anymore. I don't know if he's still on the cast or not, actually.
Maybe he is.
He was a writer's assistant, I think, before, and they gave him an... I don't know. I could be wrong about that. So I'm not good with the season one writers.
So, yeah, I don't know any of them, except that Ethan Spaulding.
The beginning of Avatar was like a combination of a lot of people really working hard together. I mean, Aaron, he has big influence on... Of course, Mike and Brian, but... And it was like five people that wrote 101, 102. Don't think that was just Mike and Brian, because there is, if you look in the credits, additional writers, it's like all five of them really wrote it. So, yeah, that's the point I was trying to make. 105, despite Jake's criticism, still really good episodes, very funny, and accomplishes a lot, actually, with Boomy. And then 106, despite how much I hate Haru with a mustache, it's a good episode.
And wait, can we call him Haru with a mustache? He didn't have a mustache in that episode, though.
I don't care, but he's permanently Haru with mustache now. I mean,
that's seriously.
We should make an acronym for that.
That seriously seems like a joke somebody did in the storyboard room. Yeah, like, they just decided to one day draw a mustache on him, and boom, it just stuck.
He didn't act,
He looked like Jack Sparrow.
I can't say. His character was a complete change from 106 to all the way down. I mean, he wasn't... I can't say that word. I always lower the volume, whatever. So, yeah.
Which word are we talking about that you can't say?
What you call To the Other Side, Joe.
Oh. A word that I say at least 20 times a day.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so... thoughts on quality of the first... I don't know. What's everyone's favorite episode of the first six?
Mine's a toss-up between Warriors of Kyoshi and the Southern Air Temple. Both are really good, in my opinion.
Same, definitely. They're both really good.
Yeah, Joe.
I have to say I liked all of them. I'm sorry. I can't single one out.
Joe.
Joe doesn't now really watch
the
really...
first six episodes. am I right?
I saw them all, but... I really like to say that I liked the first one, and I didn't like the sixth one, because Haru is a Kragnog.
Yes. I don't have to lower the volume on that. That's interesting. Kevin?
Oh, I hate to have to... be the same as everybody, but I think Warriors of Kyoshi was probably my favorite out of that batch. Again, I like them all, but the first episode, well, of course, Suki, and the dozens of Kyoshi clones. That was the episode where they couldn't be bothered to actually get them different hairstyles, so all the girls in the background were like the same Attack of the Clones in the back there.
Just FYI, guys, we all ship Kabuki on this podcast.
Yeah. That's true.
I do.
Okay, so...
We all do.
And Saucony.
It's a mandatory ship.
Southern.
Anyone know ship Saucony?
Okay, let's let Mel talk. No, like, big ships, please.
Yeah, Mel needs a patient, too.
Southern Air Temple, okay, Jody.
Southern Air Temple, Joe, shut up.
Jody, I just offended you, and you tell me to shut up.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Thank you, Joe.
That's right. That's right.
Let's let Jody talk, please, Joe.
I haven't watched them in a while, but I think my favorite out of the first six is the Warriors of Kyoshi.
Yeah, I know. I loved Warriors of Kyoshi, but I don't know. It's watching the first two episodes again. It's a completely different world. I mean, I loved those. And then the Southern Air Temple. Just any of the first four, I'll pick any day. Almost over any episode, actually.
Can I jump in and just say something that I really noticed?
Yeah.
About the, if you look at the early episodes again, you go back there. And you look at Zuko, and you look at just how much of a journey that they took the character on. It's really, really a lot of fun to see where he came from to where he is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
All the dips and curves they took the character and the emotions and his attitude, too.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, yeah, because in the beginning he's like the set antagonist, and then he starts shifting away. It's...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hate that word antagonist and protagonist. I have to
understand that, Jeff.
I understand. I had an English test today, and I hate my English teachers.
Did you fail?
Okay. Topic so quickly. So, yeah,
my English teachers are Cragnog. I swear to God.
And then this introduces Zhao's most amazing character in the world, obviously.
Oh, gosh. Zhao is the most incredibly awesome. I'm sorry. No, don't get me wrong. I like Azula. I like Mei. I like Ty Lee. But three teenage girls have not been able to impress the sheer... presence of Zhao.
Of the
seriously.
Amazing sideburn, Zhao.
Oh,
I have to agree. I mean, I was actually like, that one where he captured Aang and the Blue Spirit, that actually scared me. But so far, Azula really scared me yet.
Yeah, no, Azula's scary.
You mean killing the world?
I mean, can't really get more awesome than Zhao.
See, well, the invasion that he set up is what made him so awesome. Other than that, he's just a crag.
They're like different levels of scary.
Yeah, it's
like Azula is scary because she'll smile at you while killing you.
Yeah,
and Zhao will just like beat the crap out of you.
Zhao will smile at you, then stab you in the back while you're walking away.
Well, Azula does the same thing.
You know, I don't know. It's,
only with
Zhao
lightning.
Was interesting in 103 was he attacked Zuko after the duel's already over.
So. No, they're both not very nice.
I don't know
people.
What that was telling, but it was still awesome.
That he is a sore loser.
That he knows Zuko's butt already, and he's ready to attack. Zhao can see the future.
One thing that I also like about Zhao is he's more human. Azula seems too invincible, and I don't know. Zhao is just more human, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, I agree. Zhao's like a real villain. It's more traditional, really.
Well, Zhao's
like,
just
the Combustion Man. I gotta be honest, like the Combustion Man.
Don't even bring him up, Zhao.
Combustion Man's just amazing.
Like both those guys, though. I mean, come on, a guy that could like use his mind to make an explosion. That's not even realistic anymore. When they started creating villains...
Well, Joe, do you see people...
Well,
like,
I mean, honestly, though...
...water on the street?
Yes, it's we're not talking about realistic, but
okay,
traditional.
But you know what
no,
I mean.
No, we don't need to get into villains more. So, yeah, were the episodes effective in what were they were trying to account? This is more main theme. We'll skip that.
They sure
presented?
Were.
So, okay, here's how I've categorized the first six episodes for Aang's side. Because I did not realize Zuko had such a big part in this before. But he doesn't really, but some of them he does. So 101, 102, I said foundations. Because it's like setting the scene for the show. It's the original setting, and it gets the plot moving after they've accomplished what they need to. And then I've said 103, 105 are Aang's past episodes, where we learn about, just Aang's past, Southern Air Temple, then we see Bumi, and how that, even though not much was accomplished there in 105, but still. And 104, 106 I've labeled as character development, and of character development, of course, encompasses relationship development. So, yeah.
Well, 105 did do something for us. It established earthbending.
That's
give
true.
Us our,
of course.
Give us our first look at that.
First look at Britain, yes.
And that's kind of something if you look at the first season as opposed to the second season where they didn't have to worry about it. The first season was supposed to be about waterbending, but there really was just a little bit at the beginning and end and maybe a little bit in the middle, you know what I mean? They were kind of trying to give a look of all the nations right away in the first season, and then the second season kind of focused more on Earth because they didn't have to worry about the other stuff.
The only time we really saw earthbending was when the soldiers were about in season one.
Of course.
I mean, we 105, 106 both there.
Don't forget the Great Divide.
Oh,
yeah, and the Great Divide. That one, too.
That's the first episode I ever saw.
I'd rather forget about the Great Divide.
Yeah.
It's written by Dan O'Brien, which means it's awesome. There's no questions asked. We'll get into this next podcast. Okay, so here's what you guys... Well, first I'll present the question.
I got a question.
Here's what the podcast poll said. This is what I asked on the main page. 373 people voted, and the question was, what did you like more within the first six episodes? And the character development, 104-106, got first place with 176 votes, about 50%. Second place was Learning About Aang's Past, 103-105, got 103 votes, 28%. And then Foundations of the Show, 101-102, 94 votes, 25%. So interesting, well, this is more of, like, which episodes did you like more? I guess people took it as that, but I don't know. The character development is just, to me, the best part about Avatar is just the characters. I mean, you can't beat the characters in Avatar, and that's why when they're developed and they have episodes
if you don't have good characters, then it's not
like
a show.
Then that's why I like Ooza Kyoshi so much. Just every character developed in the gang.
First off, the characters aren't my favorite part of the show. My favorite part has to be the idea of, I guess, bending in general. I mean, like, the fact that you're taking things like real fighting and embellishing it totally.
It's a good concept, yes, but I'm saying characters.
That's not, that doesn't, you know,
and
like...
First
okay,
off,
so
it's
let's
characters.
Go down, okay, let's go down the list. What did you... Characters.
Characters.
No, it's not character. I say characters.
You also say radiator.
I also say water and orange.
Oh god, orange water.
Yeah. Okay, we've been over this. New York versus
chocolate,
accent. Okay.
Coffee.
You mean you don't say potato?
I say potato.
That's all like okay. Yeah, it's good.
And you say Caribbean.
Okay, what did you like more within the
Caribbean.
First six episodes? The character development, Aang's past, or the foundations?
Aang's past.
This isn't a really fair question because it's completely different categories here. So
I think it's very one-sided.
That was, like, the question you had for what's the most important part of the episode.
That was Jake's, but what do you
mean?
Well,
that was a mean question.
It's like, you can't answer this. I'd say, like, my favorite part of the first six were the foundations to me. I just want to keep watching 101, 102 over again. It's just so amazing.
See,
anyone have an opinion on these?
Well,
of course.
I think they all kind of go hand in hand. I mean, really, for me, Avatar is the story of both Aang and Zuko. And where they're going in their direction.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Zuko in a minute.
And I think they successfully did that. I think, like you said, they set the foundations. They gave us the development of those characters to start it off with, and it was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Could I also present something at this moment?
But I know it's going to be off topic. And
it's not going to be off topic.
Is it related to foundations, Aang past, or character development?
I guess so.
No,
I don't
know. Oh, okay.
I think so. Wait, yeah, it's bad Avatar.
Yes, thank you for that. We're on this specific topic here. So yeah,
Alright, hold on, wait, but I think Zuko has like a bigger
I said we'll get to Zuko.
What?
I know, that's why I started talking about it.
Okay, so
we'll
now
get it
I was actually just about to transition to Zuko, so
gonna do that.
So episode Zuko was in 101, 102, 103, and 104. And it's like he was in the end of 106, but that doesn't count. And 105 was completely devoid of Zuko. That was the challenge, I think, to John O'Brien. Because Mike and Brian actually knew John O'Brien from the past, so they said
really?
To him, write us a non-Zuko episode. Yeah, I could go into the whole past of Mission Hill and all that with the...
That would
be fun. I've researched this a little, but that's not the topic today. So, yeah. Character. First, I want to hit on this. Iroh seemed like a different guy to me in the beginning of the season. He was more like a simple...
He was comedic in the beginning,
More comedic and more... He wasn't as advice-giving, I guess, towards the
But didn't you always notice how, like, whenever Zuko and Aang got into an altercation, Iroh never interfered. And he could easily...
I was trying to... let Zuko do his thing. He's trying to let
it. Yeah, I know, but he could have easily ended it, given Zuko the credit for it, and ended this whole big mess, but he didn't.
Yeah, but he doesn't want Zuko to do that.
No.
Well, he doesn't want to do that for Zuko.
Now, did he always think that way, is the question.
I think he did, but that's a different topic, so yeah.
Oh, really, so, I think I remember they said that it was the voice actor, Mako, who really helped influence where the, you know, the character Iroh, his direction, how he kind of developed into more of the wise person, you know what I mean? I think he was meant to be a little bit more of the comic relief offset to Zuko. In fact, I think they always called him Uncle. If you look at all the character animation sheets that they had of him initially, they just call him Uncle.
And he's still called Uncle in the credits, actually.
Right, exactly. So they didn't even really give him a formal name. He was just that kind of character, you know what I mean?
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess that's right, because it definitely got a big impression from Iroh like that in the beginning.
Yeah, and Mako really kind of took it to another level, and they loved what he did so much in the voice, I think. I remember they said that they really gave it even more depth.
It's very interesting there, because after, I think, the beginning episodes, Iroh's character starts to develop into a lot more. I mean, I'll have to watch them all again, but towards, I don't know, actually, he might stay like that for a little bit through season one. That's interesting, so yeah. Zuko's side is, I think it's, the reason why I didn't include it, it's very simplistic in the beginning. He wants to capture the Avatar, and Iroh's his helper, and they're on the ship, and they're tracking down Aang. What's the whole different shift? Why this isn't the traditional kid show is that it's actually Zhao. They bring Zhao into the equation, and he has a duel with Zhao, and they start to go into Zuko's past. And please stop chatting, guys. It's really nice. And so yeah, they bring in.
Might I ask what our maybe our new our newest podcast member a question about what she thinks? Shayna, hello.
Yes.
You've been naturally quiet, not jumping in just yet. Let me
She's
ask
LOing.
You. What do you think of early Zuko in these early episodes, as opposed to maybe even later Zuko? Since we're on
yes. Well, what do you think?
Well, he's not as fashionable.
Oh, yes. Okay. Right from the beginning, though, you can see kind of a hint of, like, how he's kind of... Like, even when I started watching Avatar, I kind of thought Zuko was going to, like, turn good, because, in episode 3, how at the end, you can see how he's not, stooping to the level of Zhao and everything. And then, sort of thing just kind of continues, and I don't know, sound like retard, so
no, you're right, you're
there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was that they're introducing the different side of Zuko already within the third episode, that
he's always had a higher element of honor than the rest of some of the people in the Fire Nation.
Iroh, completely different from the rest of the Fire Nation. That's a great point there, is that, and that starts to develop more throughout the first season, as we'll get into that. So I think Zuko's side is not the main theme of the first 6 episodes. So I'm just going to stick with Aang's for now.
I mean, I think it's like half of it.
You're like
it's like Aang. Half and half.
It's not half and half, because the first...
No, because it's Aang, because he's the main character, and the first couple episodes would be focusing on developing the main character and getting to know him.
Character.
He's the titular character.
I can never say that.
Titular, I don't know. I think it's titular. Whatever. Okay, so here's the whole reason we're doing these segments. What is the main theme of 101 to 106? And this is the hard one, actually.
Well, if you really want my opinion about the theme...
This is going to be stupid, isn't it?
No, I think that... I think that, what's it called, the writers were very novice at their time in writing them.
I think these episodes were some of the best written of the series, actually.
That doesn't mean anything, but I really don't think that they had any...
How does that not mean anything?
Let me explain. You gotta let me finish. I don't think that they really planned as well as... They did not look anywhere near as far into this as you are looking into it. In fact, Dylan, if you were a writer, you'd be like the head cragnog of all of them, bro.
Thank you for that. But no, I think Aaron, Mike, and Brian were definitely looking into this far. They were already planning season 2 while they were writing the beginning of season 1, so...
Right, but season 2 wasn't much different from season 1 in terms of...
Oh, we'll get into that. Season 2 is completely different.
I think maybe the thing Joey is getting on is... The thing that Joey is hitting on is the fact that any show, when it starts off, nobody really has a great good sense of the characters and what the characters' personalities
exactly.
are. I think Sokka was the biggest example of
yes.
that, when they even said the voice actor for Sokka, I'm blanking on the name, someone help me.
Jack DeSena. Jack DeSena.
Thank you, yeah, from
Eugene
All That, right?
Young developed,
They intended him to be, I think, less funny, I think, than when they started off with. He wasn't really supposed to be the major comic relief, if I remember right, but just because Jack was such a funny guy himself, they kind of let the character go that way. It just kind of evolved, and the writers became more comfortable writing that way. So
yeah,
I think Joe's right. Things do change a little bit as they go on when the writers get
Avatar
a better sense
was,
of who the characters are.
That's
Avatar
what I was trying to
set,
say.
Though.
I'm just too tired to think.
Jack and Iroh. Sokka and Iroh were
Jack
the main
and
ones. Aang and Katara were set in there with their personalities, obviously. And Zuko
Kangaroo
was set in there.
Jack.
So you did see some development at the first characters there. Which way are they going to go? And it was interesting to see. What was interesting to me is they let, I don't know, Nick Malice writing 104, the main character development episode of the first half of the season, first season, is written by a guy who's not going to write any more episodes in the series. So that's that just struck me as interesting there. And he did a phenomenal job on that, developed the characters very well. And you know, they hit on sexism in 104. Like, what other kid show does that? And they, what was the other one?
Well, there's always a girl power episode in every single series known to man, so.
You know, this show is way too political for me. And to hear me say something like that, you know, because I could argue with John left to right about me being right and him being wrong and vice versa, but, you know.
It's usually you being like, oh, I didn't ever think of that, so yeah.
Can I jump back to a previous thought real quick?
Yes, please.
Of course.
It was mentioned, Shay, you said there's a girl power episode in all these shows these days. There's so many girls here with us at the moment. Can I ask the girls, what do you guys think of that? Is that something that you find generically empowering, or is that just like, eh, whatever?
If it's good.
I really don't care. I don't really, no, feminism just kind of makes me mad anyway, so I don't, I'm not going to have an opinion on that.
It actually, it really doesn't matter, but it can actually come out looking kind of stupid if it's done wrong.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors of Kaioshi was made well, so like,
I don't really have
an opinion either way.
There's a right way and a wrong way to make a girl power episode. They did a right way, but like, girl power
actually, there can be a wrong way.
Like, no, yeah.
What I like about
Kaioshi was done well.
Sorry, that. Sorry. You first. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, really quick, it's like, but you can do a girl power episode the wrong way, but making the women seem like really obnoxious and like obnoxious girl power, but they did it the right way here.
Like a total man-hater episode is not necessary for the series.
It wasn't like really obvious and in your face. It was like,
yeah.
I don't think any of it's necessary. Every sort of person.
They were kind of
playing.
I mean,
okay,
sometimes
it
just.
I gotta cut off there. We weren't getting.
I had more to say.
No.
I was just about to say everyone's good at different
this
things.
This is only the second podcast with the girls out, none of the guys, which is really good. And okay, should I bring this up? No.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Let's
bring it up.
The
bring
main
it up.
Theme. What
bring
is
them
the main
up, bring
theme
them
of
out,
the
bring
first
them
six
out,
episodes?
Hey.
Main theme is learning. You're learning about the world. And
that's not a theme.
No, yes, it is.
It initiates the show.
No.
No, learning can be a theme. It's not just us that are. It's not just us that's learning. It's like Aang that's learning.
Okay. Just keep discussing this. I gotta remember what I thought the main theme was.
Actually, everyone in the show is learning. Even Iroh, he's learning a bit more to let people choose a bit more of their own. Sokka's learning, of course, not to sort of depend on himself. Katara's learning to get a bit stronger, maybe a bit more motherly.
You're cutting off stuff. You're, like, going back and forth. You gotta work to fix it. But, yeah,
I can't fix it because,
Okay, Kevin, can you talk for a minute on this? What do you think the main theme of was the first six episodes?
The main theme of the first six episodes?
Yes.
Well, the main thing, I believe, was just introducing characters. Getting characters established and getting the world established that they live in, obviously. They established pretty early on exactly what the Fire Nation is, how they've taken over in the year since Aang has been gone, his surprise at finding his whole race of airbenders, you know, practically, absolutely, a genocide, completely destroyed. So really, it was all about establishing and getting the whole adventure started and really getting people used to what bending is, this whole kind of Asian fantasy that they developed, this whole universe and world.
Okay, so yeah, it's establishment more than learning, but that's not even the theme. Here's what I'm talking about when I say main theme. Like, to me, this is all going to lead up to the main theme of the show being power versus love. That's something we've got to work for.
Well, don't. You mean like
we're not with that, but we're not discussing that right now. The main theme of these episodes, establishment,
the main theme is how to market toys to kids via Christmas and for
one. Don't give out to any female.
Wait, hold on.
I'm kidding. I know what you mean. I'm kidding.
You refer to a concatenation of all the first six episodes, right?
What?
What? How do you do that? Yes. You never talk like that when you're like just talking normally.
Okay, no. Okay, let me say what I was going to say.
You don't even know what I just said. And that's great.
Within the first episode, the main things. Aang, Bumi says this, 105. He says, you need to defeat the Fire Lord, and you need to learn the four elements, and this is what we know. Aang is going to learn water.
Parallel stories, cough.
He already knows air, and he's going to defeat the Fire Lord. What is, establish. Establishment is not a theme, though. So I'm trying... See, this is hard for me. I've been thinking of this for a while, because I got a main theme for the middle season one, the end of season one.
I don't think there's a theme in the very first beginning of the episode.
This is what I'm trying to hit on. See, here's what's... More importantly is... What's established is Aang needs to travel the world, learning the four elements, and then defeat the Fire Lord.
Yeah, but that's
what
not
we
a
know
theme.
For now. The series intensifies in 107, as we see with the addition to the comet into the equation. That's why I've classified these as the first six episodes, because we don't get
so
into
in the
comet.
End, we're all doing math again.
No. And, I gotta think for a minute more. People talk.
Well, I think for me, ultimately, those first six episodes are all summed up best in one specific line, in one specific moment from Imprisoned, the episode Imprisoned. Katara raises her hand to the sky as an anime scene goes by, and she screams, "Earthbending style!" That was really the emotional core for me.
Speaking of that, good quotes with now. I could get into good quotes this season.
That was a good quote.
It's right up there with
the library. It is so epic. It's like Lord of the Rings epic.
I've never seen
like
that before.
At the library.
You've never seen Lord of the Rings.
It's even more epic than Lord of the Rings, Star Wars.
Never seen.
Okay, see, I'm going to ignore the main theme for this. We'll have a more definitive main theme with the rest of the episodes, but...
I think I know what you're getting at, John. I think it helps pan out maybe getting even a broader look at the episodes.
Yeah, it's one sentence summaries. Let's try to do that.
What I think we should do.
Because we're
why this is good.
Let me quickly. Nobody wants to talk for that segment. Let me do this quickly.
Wait,
101. Okay, I'm not making any points here, so I'm gonna edit that out. I still can't think of something. This sucks. Okay, yeah, so I made this outline.
This is the importance of an outline.
No, this is the outline right here. I'm looking at it. And it says main theme of 101, 106, and I can...
Okay, well, maybe you should have put it in there when you wrote the outline.
Okay, we'll work at it. We'll get back to this.
Maybe the main theme is...
You have a brain.
Okay, here's... Because next podcast, we'll be discussing 107 to 114. That's going to be really hard, too.
You know, I actually think it's good that we're going through, like, all these episodes, because, you know, I know everyone thinks, what are they going to tell us? We already saw them, but you know how, like, you go back into your past and you're...
No,
really
Joe, oh my god, it's like such a Joe statement right there.
I was saying, you go back in your past, you're really going to learn a lot about what's going to happen just from your past.
What's inside you, then? Okay.
Can I ask a quick question real quick? Let me ask everybody this. When I started watching Avatar in the first seasons there, and I saw those episodes, it was really a lot of fun for me. It was just kind of crazy fun of discovering this show. Do you still feel that same fun, and I don't mean to get into comparisons here, but do you still feel that same sense of fun now that we've been watching the third season? Has it continued? That same feeling you had in the first season, is it still here?
So, yeah, that's the main thing for me. I'm always going to say season one's better. Exactly, it was just more fun.
It was
more of a relaxed story.
It's something you weren't used to.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, season one is my favorite. I kind of don't like season three that much.
Let's wait for it to end. Stay
here.
You know, for me, I'm gonna make this point again and again.
It's
season
not that.
Two was all
it's
over
not
the place.
That
season
enough.
One was structured, and that's what I like about it. I mean, it was forced structured, but it was structured. So,
you know, I have to get on my Barry White voice and give this metaphor. Season one was like falling in love with a beautiful woman. Season two was like the wedding and the honeymoon, baby. Oh, yeah. And now season three, we have to learn to live together, even though the times are getting tough and we might not like each other that much, we still made that commitment, baby, and we gotta see it through to the end.
No, I... So what,
perfect. So
Kevin, right there. Is good, guys.
Wait, Kevin. So when do we buy our house and when do we put the kids through college is the next question.
That was around Lake Lauga.
The epilogue.
Okay, yeah, we're stopping. Let's go to the thought segment. It's too much. Okay, so now for a thought segment. This was originally intended for a segment for me and Jake to... For actually me to talk about spoilers and Jake to cut me off while I was staying too much, but Jake's not
but
here.
But Jake
so
ain't here.
Yeah, Jake's not here, so I have to cut myself off. So listen, we're not...
Nah, don't worry, John.
Here.
I'll cut you off.
I'll put my ears.
Okay, so here's the main thing. I'm going to, in a later day, we're going to have the most amazing discussion of the podcast, and me, Jake, and hopefully Kevin can be here, so we're all going to go back and forth on the Avatar State versus Katara thing. And it's going to be different ways what's going to happen, and this is some from spoilers, some from not, and that's going to be a great discussion. That's not what I want to hit on today. What I want to hit on today is what may the rest of the season be. Because right now, I mean, we, ignoring Canadian spoilers, we don't really have that much on the rest of the season.
That's
we
true.
We have the titles, which are very general lately, so... Interesting to see. This is more of a me talking, so I'm gonna try to get through this quick because we just wasted a lot of time there. Actually, this first segment's very interactive. Me and Jake have been going back and forth on this. Is the epilogue, and okay, two main points I want to make here. Two things you have to remember about the finale. 321 is not an epilogue episode. We have gotten that confirmed. It is not an epilogue episode. And here's the second piece of information you have to remember. 321 is just a stretched out 320. 321 and 320 were written as one half-hour episode. They're stretched out in direction. Remember that, because this gets important.
Action and things, yeah.
Action, battle scenes, that's the main point I want to hit on. But yeah. So, 321 is not an epilogue episode, but here's the thing Jake did not get confirmed, and he's too afraid to ask, is that whether 321 has an epilogue in it or not. So here's the main thing I want to discuss, and here is the second of the podcast polls, is do you want an epilogue to conclude season 3?
No.
And we had 426 nope. people vote, 344, 80% of the people voted yes, and
80%
of the people voted no.
First,
we have to define epilogue, because and Jake differed on this. It's like I said a month later, is an epilogue. And Jake was like, oh, that's not an epilogue. That's not what I was referring to.
Technically, an epilogue is anything that happens after the third act ends.
Yeah.
That could be as soon as the third act is finished, the Fire Lord is dead. Let's if that's going to happen, I don't even know. Everybody's celebrating, blah, blah, blah. Then everybody just says, oh, boy, now let's go home. That's your epilogue.
See, yeah.
You know, or it could be like, you know, something in Harry Potter where it's really badly written, like
later.
A fan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I like Harry.
You know, and they're all standing in front of a train station.
Yeah. So here's what's not going to happen. What's
and
not going to happen is Harry Potter type
character.
Epilogue. That will not happen. They're not going to show them older.
Good.
It won't happen. I can guarantee that. So what may happen though is we may see them like a month later or 2 months later, them living someplace or Avatar or Aang going on his Avatar duties. That's what we might see, and that's what we'll probably discuss more in depth maybe next week. And we'd see that only for, like, 5 minutes, because the finale is going to be jam-packed, because apparently, I mean, even though it's a stretched-out written episode, it's so freaking long. They wrote 320 as... I think they jam-packed it too much as they forced to stretch it out, actually. So,
why'd they do that?
Well, they stretched out... Here's what I think, personally. I don't know, me and Jake haven't been agreeing very well, but I think... Like Mike and Brian said in the commentaries on the season 1 DVD for the finale, that they didn't like that they had like to have so much cutaway shots of the battle in the Northern Water Tribe, and that it was like they couldn't focus on the battle too much. So I think the main point of why they stretched it is because so they could have more battle scenes, and they're gonna have a very good battle in the finale. So like, don't expect the pre or post to be any more than it is, because they can't stretch that. Because they only wrote it as one episode, so I don't know. This kind of concerned me at first, but now that I think about it, don't let this concern you guys. It's just they made a decision on it, and they executed it. They believe me, the creator spent time in Korea to make sure it's animated well. The finale is gonna be awesome. You go, don't need to worry about that.
I hope you guys did.
Just make sure don't have over expectations for the finale, please. It's gonna surprise you. So
what if like
Karen who here wants an epilogue within 321?
No.
Like a 1 month or 2 month later thing. Who wants that?
No,
I don't, because like within the fandom, if we want the fandom to survive after the show, then we have to kind of have an open ending for people to still be creative with fan art and fan fiction and everything, and that kind of keeps the fandom alive.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay, no, here's my opinion. I would want a 1 month later thing. Mostly for the cat angle, that's just one.
Yeah,
say I just want to see the world in peace. I mean, we've seen the world in war for like 3 years. We can at least have 5 minutes of peace here.
Dylan, wouldn't you want a 9 month later epilogue instead of a 1 month later?
19 years later on a train platform. I'll just take us off to the pool.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Iroh says you want to see the world at peace, but one thing history has taught us, the world can never
truly be at peace.
It can never truly be peace.
No, I don't,
one month later won't kill fanfiction, believe me, it just won't. And it may actually help fanfiction. So my opinion is that a 1 month later thing would be, I'd want that. I've decided that.
Well, a 1 month later thing would be okay, but if it's like years later, it kind of ruins everything.
It's not going to be years later. We've pretty much have that confirmed.
Well, it depends on what the epilogue does. Like, even a month later, like, I don't like the idea of it being like a completely closed ending.
Hmm. Like, yeah, it closes all.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, they may come back to make.
Okay, one
thing.
Here's
where it'd be helpful to have Jake, but season 4 was already outlined, like. See, that's why this bothers me so much. There's not going to be season 4. There are plans for it, and they may still have specials, so it's not going to be a closed ending. There's going to be somewhat of opening. They're going to have them in one place. It's either going to be Aang traveling the world, them staying in one location. But Aang, 1 month later, Aang wouldn't be settled down anywhere yet. So, I don't know.
All I got to say is one thing. There had better be nobody married, and nobody better be pregnant.
Exactly.
There's too much fan art like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, unless it's several years later, but I don't even want that then.
That's 19 years later.
It's our first trimester. That's the thing, the picture.
That's gripping television there.
Yeah, okay. Okay, now this is going to be me talking here. I'm not going to say very much for this, but...
Because you don't want to spoil anything.
Talk too much.
This was me and Jake's segment. Jake's not here, so I have to talk all the time. Here's what to expect
more.
From every episode. Me and Jake have a theory that is based off, like, one spoiler, and we think this theory is what's going to happen, and it's obviously going to be twisted on its head. And by the way, Ko has been confirmed to return in Season 3.
Well,
just tell you that.
You said that it wasn't going to... He was never going to come back,
yeah,
and
I
anyone
did not
thought otherwise
come back,
stupid.
But he did come back.
Liar!
Awesome, so, yeah. Ko.
Jake probably wouldn't let you say that.
No, Jake posted that in a form, so now I'm allowed to
say
that.
Ko.
Oh. Okay, 318.
Ko is such a loser.
Ko's canon now.
Okay, no.
I like Ko, back off!
Shush, here's the theory. Okay, 318.
Seriously, he's gonna take your face? Come on.
318,
on,
they might
creative.
Go into the spirit world.
His voice
319,
is so cool!
I'm gonna steal my face.
Shut up, I'm about to almost spoil something.
Quit interrupting people.
318, spirit world. 319, decision. 320, battle. 321, ending. Okay? That's
first
like what I'm thinking here. Basically,
what about 322?
Ah, okay, so, here's the point I want to make for this whole segment. Considering
the
finale,
point.
How will the rest of the season be? So, what I'm saying is, they could accomplish the Avatar State versus Katara storyline all in the finale. They could accomplish the, almost everything within the finale. So, here's what I'm trying to say is that, don't expect the rest of the season to be jam-packed. Because, I'm telling you, it's not going to be. There's going to be some stuff here and there, but not every episode. I mean, I hate to say this, but not every episode is going to have a significant importance.
All I can say, it's going to be real easy to compress this season for Shyamalan's movie.
Yeah, that's true. But
may I question for a second about something?
Yes, please.
It's been eating at me forever.
Mm-hmm.
what's it called? Now, the dude can't even beat, like, the Fire Lord's daughter. How is he supposed to beat up this guy?
Wait,
That is legal. Like, tough and everything.
Aang can't beat Fire Lord's daughter. Aang can't beat Azula, therefore how can he beat Ozai? Is that what you're trying to say?
Aang can beat Azula.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even stand close. He gets, like, owned every time he does it. Like, it's like him fighting, like, a dude that's armed. You can't do that.
Okay, this is an interesting topic, is how are they going to have their second invasion? But I don't want to get into that right now, so we're not going to.
I think you do.
No, we're going to do that again. Pure speculation is that they might invade during a full moon, which would provide the opportunity for bloodbending, and Aang Katara would be at their strongest. So.
Didn't I give this
story? But would Katara do bloodbending? Does she think it's right, she even do it?
No, I still don't think she would use it on a firebender or something, unless it was to help someone or save someone.
AKA
like,
Aang.
A dire situation.
AKA
I have a theory on how Azula, like, loses at the end. What if somehow Paladins ends up, like, killing her or something.
Who does?
In a child-friendly way. Azula.
Who ends up killing Azula? What?
It's like, overconfidence. Cut off.
I can't. Overconfidence ends up killing her. Oh, that's interesting. I don't think Azula...
What, you mean, like, she accidentally shoots herself with lightning? Because she was just playing around? Hey, does this hurt?
Or what if, like, I don't know, like, she was fighting Katara or something like that, and water plus lightning, I don't know, and...
Well, if you guys take chemistry class,
you'll know that pure water is not, does not conduct electricity.
One more point.
I can tell you all something I know about what you're going to see in terms of violence and death, you know, about this series.
Yeah.
The sensors have actually come down a lot harder. In terms of what can and can't be shown. Do you remember the first season? Okay, we talked about early episodes, right? Warriors of Kyoshi. What happens to Kyoshi Island at the end of the episode? What does Zuko do?
Yeah, I know.
What does he do?
It gets set on fire, and later they're not allowed
to set the whole place on fire. All these buildings are on fire. People are screaming in terror and sadness. Okay, they wouldn't let them show the house burning at the end of the beach. They burned down the house.
This is the only thing we have confirmed about sensors. I don't want to hear it until someone goes to Nick. And Jake's obviously... I'm refusing to believe that Nick has influenced more than 305, because there's no proof. There's just speculation at this point.
Well, Nick doesn't sign their paychecks?
No, influence as in tells them what to do. I mean, like, as in, oh, let's make the first half of the season, not
why
a filler.
Why do they do this?
Filler,
they realize that
so
half these
therefore,
kids
are
someone,
hurt.
All I'm saying is that if someone does die, you're going to have it handled very lightly, possibly even more vague than Jet was.
I think they'll be a little looser for the finale.
Man, that one was the worst!
No, Jet was a very good ending. That was
which brings me to another question. With all these sensors, how is he supposed to kill... Like, because let's stop beating around the bush. He's got to, like, kill this guy.
Interesting. We could discuss that later. But here's the point I was trying to make with the segment.
How's he going
to
do?
The rest of the season doesn't have to be jam-packed. Don't expect, like, 317, 316, 315 all to be hugely important episodes because... They can accomplish what they need to in the finale, and that pisses me off, but it's true. So let's move on to the movie. The mailbag segment is where we will answer questions you guys send in on Avatar and address comments on the podcast. You can send questions to podcast@dongwufeng.net. Because of limited time, I will not be able to address every letter sent to me for the rest of the remainder of the podcast. Though I do read all of them, like all of the letters, all of the parts, all of every word you guys sent in. So don't hesitate to send in a letter just because it might not be read. It's like complimenting us, I'm not going to read on here, even though we like it. And like thoughts, like I usually don't read. But questions are like the only thing we have time for now because you guys send in so much awesome stuff. So I'm just going to say a name because we're going to go down the list. I don't feel like saying the list before. So let's start with Steph. No, let's not do Steph. Let's start with Joe.
Jen writes, faster. About episode 313. Wait, what?
Faster.
About episode 313, the five ending messages. If you look back to Aang's Spirit World adventure that went on during the break between season 2 and season 3, you notice that when Aang meets the last Avatar, Yang Chen, near the end of his journey, he learns why Avatar Spirit is human and lives on Earth. Well, when she says something about living with humans, it says a pic of the gang plus Zuko and Iroh. I believe that Aang's five-ending master could be either of them or both.
Yes, very good point there. At the end of the...
But from the spirit world, all canon.
Escape like, from the spirit world.
Escape yeah. from the spirit world. They had a yeah. picture of the gang and Zuko and Iroh in the background too. So, no, that doesn't mean anything.
I think they were just showing different humans.
Yeah, I don't know. This don't overinterpret. And my theory on Iroh being the other teacher is fading for me. I don't know. This is getting complicated. But we'll just have to see. So I don't want to get it too in depth to this. Let's just go to the next one. And Kevin.
Want writes, I was wondering if you could answer these for me. Waterbenders get power from the moon, and firebenders get power from the sun. So what gives air and earthbenders power? The second question is that in one of your scripted impromptus, Ty Lee gives Zuko that old history book with the bookmarked page. But did Ty Lee want Zuko to join Aang? And if she did, how did Ty Lee even know Aang was alive? Everyone in the Fire Nation, except Zuko and Azula, thought Aang was dead.
Okay, second question first. First, those things were just us writing. I mean, we were trying to make them canon, like, in between episodes, but Ty Lee was just trying to... Jake was the head writer on that.
Jake
so
wrote
he,
that
yeah,
reporter.
Yeah, he'd be better to ask, but he's not here, so let me speak for him here. He was...
No, let Ty Lee.
Ah, no. Jake was just trying to give depth to Kylie's character, really. She's trying to make Zuko feel better. It wasn't that she knew the Avatar was alive. She didn't know what page was bookmarked. I mean, she was just trying to...
I just thought I did it because... That's what I know, but I didn't read it, so I figured I might as well give it to him. I have no use for it.
By the way, where is Jake?
Jake? I don't know. I really don't know. And... So yeah, what was the first question? I don't know. Does anyone know the answer to the first question, actually?
Wait, I was wondering if we could see the
orb. Where do air and earthbenders get power? From the air and earth, I guess.
Earthbenders... Well, no.
The earth. Basically, the earth, I guess.
Yeah, the earth, I guess that works.
I have some continuity spackle.
Strong enough, basically.
You could say that since fire and earth are based on sun and moon, and basically fire and earth are opposed to each other. As they say, they're almost the yin-yang.
Mm-hmm.
They could be locked into the fact that there is a natural, I guess you could say, occurrence that gives them either more ability or less ability, whereas earth and air are not in that same opposite yin-yang from each other, so they're not dependent upon the same type of rules.
They're opposite, but not in the same way.
I guess you could say that. Like I said, it's pretty dicey. They keep coming up with all sorts of stuff. Let me tell you something. Two seasons ago, I would have sworn to you bloodbending was ridiculous fan fiction, but you know what? It came true, so who knows what's going to come up with.
Every fanfic.
I think they're actually opposite and the same in the same way as fire and air, in that air gets from the air and earth gets from the earth, and that's the same opposite kind of concept as getting from the moon and the sun. I mean, it's opposite. They just draw their power from the earth. It's not as...
You might say gravity.
Yeah, they did mention gravity once in the show. But
I think maybe that has
something to do with it. She laughs at gravity. No, wait, that was Aang.
So, yeah. Complicated question.
Yeah.
We don't have an answer for it right now. Okay. Yeah, skip Scuff because the on and off. And then Shay. Next one.
Zoe writes, my question is about Season 4. I know it's widely accepted now that Season 4 will never happen, but if somehow all our dreams could come true and it was on the cards, what would you want to happen in terms of locations, plots, and character development?
Very interesting
first
question.
First word out of Dylan's mouth will be...
Got it. Yes. locations, I think it would be all over the world. Plots, it would be varying and expanded within the first three seasons. Character development, relationship development, and not just necessarily romantic, different relationships, because they've already established characters up to this point. So
it would be my hope that they would go in a different direction and focus on maybe a different avatar, either in the past or the future.
A
whole new story, a whole new set of people, a whole new set of circumstances.
I'm kind of afraid of them doing that, because the characters are so amazing as they are. But
at
this point, they're not going to go to a new set of characters because a season of any season 4 would be near the movies, and the same characters would draw publicity for the movies, and the specials would be just with the same characters.
Season 4 of Avatar: The Last Airbender. Wouldn't they like make it Avatar : something else?
Yes, it would be Avatar. exactly.
Avatar
that was what
Bob
saying
the Earthbender.
Avatar what?
Avatar, Bob the Earthbender.
Bob the Earthbender, yeah. Something like that. Except he's
talking devices that help him earthbend.
Katara, she's a waterbender too.
The creators introduced llamas.
Llamas. God, that would be terrible. Okay, so yeah, it's... I don't know. We can't go to in-depth. We could do a whole podcast on what we would love to happen.
But. I think it's going to be a lot greatly influenced by how successful the movies are.
Yeah, I mean, the main point in which Season 4 could come back is after the first... Or, I don't know. My main optimistic theory is that the Season 3's finale is going to explode in ratings, and it's the Season 1 movie is going to come out soon, and they're going to want to generate some publicity for that, so they're going to sign on to another season. But that's... most likely is they're going to have one after the movie ends, if they have it at all. But right now, the main people in Avatar are still in Nick, so that's still good. Like, the co-exec producers are still in Nick. And some... And the other people, like, we know where they are, and some of them are still... I don't know, I haven't heard about a lot of the writers and directors.
Some of them,
like, McMullen was Simpson movie. Simpson movies over, so where's McMullen going? Stuff like that.
I gotta, like, go all, so I'm saying goodbye.
Okay.
Now.
Goodbye, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, Melanie next.
Grant writes, do you think that Iroh will play a part in Aang's spiritual development? When Avatar Roku's dragon takes Aang to show him where he can talk to Roku in the first season, they fly right over Iroh, and he seems to notice them even though Aang was in the spirit world. He also seems more spiritually aware than everyone else in the show. Those are the reasons that make me believe Iroh may be more than what he seems.
Well, Iroh's been to the spirit world, and he can see it because he's been there. So I think that's one of the open points in the series. And yes, that's a very good tie-in, is if we see the conclusion of Iroh's spirit world storyline and helps Aang develop spiritually, because Aang's going to need some spiritual development. See, the only thing with this is Iroh's not with the gang, like, as of now, and Zuko didn't find them breaking out, so... You see, I've always assumed Iroh's gonna go straight to them, but there have been some great theories lately, so I've been having some doubts with that. So really, this could be a later, more towards 315 on storyline with Iroh. I don't know, what do you guys think of this?
Well, Greg was there to the very end, so there's a lot of Iroh we're still gonna have coming up.
Yes.
I know that for a fact, so...
Iroh's character.
It's complicated since Zuko's joining the game and Iroh's now sort of on his own, unless he
Iroh
came as well.
That
would be kind of a surprise.
Yeah. There better be some sort of payoff. I really hope they don't leave that part hanging as something they don't kind of just decide not to go back to. They get back to that.
I doubt it, but that's actually an interesting thing they could hit on in the finale, too. You see, all of this could be covered in the finale. This could be covered within 318. This would be a good 318 storyline. So I don't know.
Well, you know, what of the adults who stayed behind and surrendered and are now in jail at the Fire Nation? Maybe Iroh would have stayed behind to help them escape.
See, yeah, there's all these possibilities for Iroh.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes,
I don't want to get into this now. So, Jody next.
Crazy Zuko fangirl writes, do firebenders depend on light only, heat only, or both for their firebending?
Heat, next. let me make sure. No, they don't depend on light, correct?
Well, no.
No, they can firebend at night, so it's heat.
Yeah, heat
that they
only.
Go on.
Heat only, yes.
I think it's also spirituality. Heat and spirituality.
No, I don't want to get into spirituality. Jimmy writes, well, in your podcast, you said there's no religion in the Fire Nation. Well, I think you are wrong, since in the episode Zuko Alone, we see a ceremony based on Shintoism, which is a Japanese religion. Okay, let's...
There's always going to be a belief system wherever you go.
That's an interesting thing, because I didn't remember the ceremony. Is he talking about here the ceremony, the funeral?
Azulon, I think.
Funeral?
Yeah, Zuko Alone. That's when Azulon was being buried, I think. Or being buried.
He might also have the coronation ceremony that also made, you know, his dad... ruler of the Fire Nation, which I think that's what he was referring to.
Okay.
Ultimately, I don't know, I didn't listen to your last episode on that, but for me, as far as I see religion in Avatar, it's kind of like going to the bathroom, the way it's treated. I don't mean that, don't take that in an offensive way. It's something that's done, we all know it gets done, they just don't refer that much to it.
Okay.
We know it's there, we're just not going to get into it.
Well, they have sages and temples, so I'm assuming there's some sort of belief system within.
Yeah, that's in it. See, it's. I don't want to. Not, yeah, but they see this is really another evidence that religion is there within the Fire Nation. It's not completely absent. Okay, and also Jimmy writes. I also have three questions, and we're going to hit on a question and then talk, and then next one, then. Do you think that Sokka and Toph can end up together? We've already went over this.
Where's Duke?
Yeah, where is Ruth when we need her?
She's skiing.
Skiing, yes. They have potential at the end for, potential. I mean, at the end of the finale, there's potential for potential, if that makes sense. Like, Ruth had the example of them punching each other in the arm, and it's the end. So, yeah. There's potential for them ending up together, but they're not going to directly show it at towards the end of the series. Next question: did Ozai punish Azula for lying, and is she going to capture the Avatar now? See, nah. That's an interesting question a lot of people have been having. I've always assumed Ozai wouldn't care because Azula's her, Azula's like his little girl, so I don't really think he's going to care that much.
Cookie.
I don't know. Does anyone think he's actually like going to punish her?
Only to Zuko.
I talk to her.
Maybe.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think he, I don't know, would be more of a threat, like he was going to do something. I don't think, like, right away he'd actually physically harm her. It's a kid's show, you know? Yeah.
So, basically, Azula's not going to be chasing after Aang. That's not going to happen, but interesting. If Ozai punishes her, I doubt it. Okay, and the last one. Do you think Zuko and Iroh are going to see each other in the near future?
Yeah, they can't just leave that whole relationship.
Well, it depends on what you mean by near future.
I'm starting to doubt they'll see each other by the midpoint of the end. As in, started putting that as like 3:15. I don't know. They might not see each other by 3:15, but they're definitely going to see each other again. Towards the end, though.
And how again, near future is near future, right?
Yes, it's. I don't know. 3:18 is they could accomplish everything in the finale. I'm thinking right now. It's all tying together, but. Okay, back up the list. Kevin, I guess, first, yeah.
Okay. Philip writes, Dylan, what would you rather have happen? Dylan, this is all you now. Ready? Again, Dylan, what would you rather have happen? And you have to choose. Would you rather have Zutara become canon for 2 years, and Katara decides to go back to Aang, and she dies before she gets the chance? Or have Katang happen, and Aang dies, and Katara lives miserably for the rest of her life.
How morbid!
Okay, I had an answer to this, let me remember.
Outlines, Dylan, outlines.
Zutara happens, and then Katara decides to go back to Aang, and then she dies, Aang's miserable, and then Katara's miserable after she leaves Zuko, because she doesn't get to get to Aang yet, so they're both miserable in the end.
One of them's going to end up killing themselves. Either way.
And then, if Kat Aang happens, then Aang dies, then Katara lives miserably. They're still both miserable, so there's no real answer to this, I guess, but...
I could make a Broadway reference, but I won't.
But either way, Dylan's unhappy, so
yes,
you trapped
basically,
him.
Yes, basically.
You trapped him. Way to go.
You heard his feelings.
No, I did have an answer. I think it was the second one. Because... I think it's more important that Katara lives, actually. As once Aang... Oh god, this is right back to that fic I just read. Once Aang... yes, I've been reading a lot of Katang fanfic lately. Once Aang stops the war... I don't know, the need for Aang to live on isn't as great, I guess. But Katara...
So you morbid person just after.
Katara's could do more. I don't know.
I just had a bad thought. If Aang dies, he doesn't really die. He gets reincarnated.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Katara's just dead.
So he'll be miserable for like ever then.
She'll be like wandering the entire world looking for the next Avatar.
Yeah. Either way, they're both gonna see each other in the spirit world after they die. So it's Kang's gonna be eternal. Okay.
Ooh, good out.
How ominous, Dylan.
Finishes up Shay.
George writes, do you think Monk Gyatso was part of the White Lotus because he was playing Paisho with Aang?
2 points. First of all, playing Paisho doesn't mean you're part of the White Lotus. And there's Monk Gyatso being part of the White Lotus is a major theory. Some people say he started the White Lotus. I don't think they'll have enough time. Mm. I don't know. This
honestly,
is interesting.
it's one of those things where I think it's kind of like, well, why not? You know, it's I don't know if it's something that they're going to get into and reveal for sure, but it's he seems like the kind of guy who would be into that.
Yeah, and also, oh, yeah, something I got out of the first couple episodes, Gatsu is the most powerful airbender.
Yeah,
I forgot that. So
it'd sure be convenient if he was, or if he did start it, because then it'd be sort of like the White Lotus is loyal to airbenders and everything, and can kind of help the gang, you know. Yeah.
So we'll see. This goes back to the whole debate. Is the 314 title White Lotus? We'll see. And that question kind of, will we see the history of the White Lotus? Will we see all that? Even if it's not called the White Lotus, if it is, we obviously get that. If it's not, we may get that as a B story. I don't know. So we'll see, I guess. Tricky questions here, and me and Jake actually don't have that many spoilers, so can't answer them that definitively. Okay, so let's move on to our closing. Okay, that's all for this week's podcast. Send us questions at podcast@dongwufeng.net. Send us afterwards from the mailbag segment. And random thoughts. First, 313 aired in Zimbabwe. Second, what was the other thing I had to say?
Outlines, Dylan.
What?
Put that in there. Remember Zimbabwe. To make an outline.
What was the other thing I had to say? I don't remember.
If you had an outline, you would know.
I'm not going to add Zimbabwe to the outline. Oh my god.
Oh, Zimbabwe.
Yes, I just said that. Okay.
Oh, I was trying to figure out what you were saying. First, I thought you said Canada.
Thank you for Elisa for doing those fake screenshots and everyone else involved in that Zimbabwe prank. Very good, guys. Okay, so I've been your main host. Co-hosts have been Kevin, Steph, Shay, Melanie, Jody, and Joe, and Abby. So, Techno Director AJ Kevin, Music Remix is Luke Tripp, I edit, Dong Fangum by Jake. Next podcast, we will be discussing the 314 episode title, and we'll be discussing the middle of Season 2, episodes 107 to 114.
Season 1,
and I get to talk about the fortune teller today. So,
oh!
Okay, so...
Epic episode.
I don't know. This was a pretty bad podcast, I'd say. But, whatever.
Oh, well, that's, you know, encouraging.
It is.
I know.
At least you said it at the end.
Yeah,
said it at the beginning, that would have been a problem.
I said it was going to be boring at the beginning. It was just this.
Oh, you did.
Guys, just wait. Just wait for our
I was dull. I'm sorry for ruining it.
Wait for the...
Jay's first podcast. Look what you did.
I know, yeah.
I'm here, so it's awesome, okay?
Yeah, Jay's fine. Jay's good.
So mean to me.
Good mic quality for a first time, actually. And with the cheap mic from Walmart.
Yes!
She sounds better than
gotta love Walmart.
Yeah, it is great. We should all, like, buy cheap merch from Walmart. Okay, so...
I'll go tomorrow.
Screw that $50 one.
Screw that $50 one.
Any last comments?
Monkey!
Oh yeah, I forgot to say this in the beginning. The reason we had to pre-record the last 2 weeks is because I was switching servers from my old Windows to my Mac now. So
Macintosh.
I accomplished that. Got a recording program, and if you're hearing this, then it worked. If you're not hearing this, then it didn't work.
You can see the little green bars.
Yes, and I can see green bars now, and they're pretty awesome. I'm, like, in love with the green bars. So, yeah. I feel unfulfilled with this podcast. We didn't, like, say anything.
I'm sorry I ruined it. I'm sorry for being, like, dull and boring.
It wasn't your fault, Steph. It was the only thing you did bad was your thing going in and out. You gotta work on that. Yeah, so,
Go to Walmart.
So, go to Walmart.
I shall.
Okay, so see you guys next week, and let's end with the unison.
Goodbye. See you later. Come back soon.
That's a little much for unison.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Let's all say it.
What?
Adios.
I call spit. Oh.
One.
Here, wait,
two,
no, let me look up how
three.
To say bye in Korean. Hold on, wait.
That's the countdown, ready?
All right, English
bye. One, two, three,
bye. Bye.